tremendous blessing. I want to take any of Dr. Rasmussen. So I could say your name, but a lot of people call him Dr. R. I appreciate him being here. We enjoyed hosting them last night, and look forward to the preaching this morning.
I appreciate your pastor. He's a friend, and he actually preached for us at our chapel this year. Did a wonderful job. It was an encouragement, a blessing, and we know it's his wife who keeps the house pulled together with those three boys running around there. You know that. And I always enjoy being here, and I'm indebted for their friendship. And I hope you know that you're blessed here. I travel a lot. I travel about 100 days a year. I travel with a tour group of that time, probably 10 weeks of the year. And I've had the privilege of being in over 650 Baptist churches. You're blessed with this auditorium. You're blessed with the sound system. You're blessed with a good choir. You're blessed with a great pastor who loves you and loves his church. Boy, I challenge you, don't take that for granted. God's been good to you, and I believe that for Heritage, the best is yet to come. And I just encourage you to get all in, and I didn't know who the visitors were here today, but please come back and hear Brother Crawford. Tonight will be a great night with Vision Night. If not, be here next Sunday. You'll be glad you did. I'll say this, some of these girls have traveled me before. I don't say this everywhere I go, but if I lived anywhere near here, I'd come here. I mean that wholeheartedly. And I'm excited about your Christian school, excited about Brother Lepper. I've heard good reports about that as well. And by the way, I'll just throw this out. Christian education doesn't cost, it pays. And you have one chance to rear your children. I encourage you to put them in a place where they'll get a good Christian education. I'm a believer in that. And you say, what do you know about public school? I went 1 year, kindergarten. And my dad started a school for me the second year. And my dad was a superintendent, my mom was a principal, and my mom was a first grade teacher. I was in first grade. How was that? Horrible, all right? And I realized in the United States that double jeopardy is against the law. You're not supposed to be punished twice for the same crime. It happened all the time. And if I got in trouble at school, I got a whooping at home, I can promise you. But this morning, I'm going to share something with you that I hope will be a help. If you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I've been thinking about this day, the first Sunday of the new year. I pray for your church every week. Your pastor's a friend. I'm a believer that if we really love people, we're going to pray for them. And he's on a prayer list of mine. I hope you'll pray for your pastor, for his wife, for the staff here. That's a good thing to do. But can I say this? God wants to use you this year. You may say, well, you don't know how. I met a man this morning. Been married 67 years. What a blessing. What an encouragement. What a great example. But you know what? There's still things he can do. He can't do what pastor can do, but there's things he can do. God has a job for every single person in this building here today. You say, well, I'm retired. You don't understand. It's a wonderful thing if you can retire from your occupation. But nowhere in the pages of Scripture do I find that you retire from your avocation, which means to serve God. Amen. We were saved to serve and not saved to sit. God has a plan. Amen. 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, this is so interesting, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she, and he, and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. This morning I want to share with you the title of this message is, God Can Use You. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I prayed already this morning. I know my wife's prayed. I know pastors prayed. And Lord, it's my intent and my desire that this message this morning will be a help, a challenge, and encouragement. I pray, Lord, for every believer here that they will understand that God can use them and that you desire to use them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." And Lord, I pray that we will seek to be about your good pleasure in the year 2019. We do not know how long we're going to have, but I pray that we will redeem the time, that we'll occupy till you come, and seek to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Lord, I know that in and of myself there dwells no good thing. I know the arm of flesh will fail us, but we know your arm fails not. So we do trust in you this morning, and we acknowledge that we need your help. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through your word to our hearts this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this familiar story, we see, first of all, the woman that God chose. I teach the auditorium Sunday school class at our church, and my class is for those 60 and over. A year ago, May, I turned 60. I'm now 61. I became old enough to teach the class I've been teaching now for 21 years. I have a heart for several widows that are in our class. Now, there's a widow's class that's there, but many of them have chosen to be in our class. Can I say this? If I needed something, I don't think I would go to a widow. You say, especially a widow that's poor. I've had some folks in our class that live on the barest subsistence of Social Security. I'm thinking of the Snyder family who lived on Avenue I in a trailer park, a single wide, that their grandson bought them for $8,000. Now think about that. They didn't have much, but they wanted their lives to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman that God chose was poverty stricken. She had a burden in her heart. You see, we don't just serve God when we're on the top side, when everything's going well. We just serve God because it's the right thing to do. She had a boy in her hands, and she had barrenness in her home. But God used her, and God can use you as well. Next time you feel that God can't use you, let me remind you of a few Bible characters. God used Noah, and he got drunk. God used Abraham, and he was too old. God used Jacob, and he was a liar and a deceiver. God used Leah, and she was ugly. God used Joseph, and he was abused. God used Moses, and he had a stuttering problem. God used Gideon, who was afraid and fearful. God used Samson, who had long hair and was a womanizer. God used Rahab, who was a prostitute. By the way, just think about the genealogy of Christ. You've got Rahab. You've got Tamar. You've got Bathsheba. And God used all of them. God used Jeremiah and Timothy. They were too young. And he used David, who had an affair and was married 7 times. God used Elijah, who was suicidal. He used Jonah, who ran from God. He used Naomi, who was a widow, and Job, who had a bankruptcy. God used John the Baptist, and he ate bugs. God used Peter, who denied Christ. He used the disciples who fell asleep while praying with Jesus. I mean, it's one thing to fall asleep while praying, but with Jesus? God used Martha, who worried about everything, and he used a Samaritan woman who was divorced multiple times. God used Zacchaeus, who was too small, and he used Paul, who was too religious. He used Timothy, who had an ulcer, and he used Lazarus, and he was dead. So, my friend, God can use you. So we see, first of all, the woman God chose. We see, secondly, the work God commanded. He said, "Make me thereof a little cake first." Could you imagine what this lady felt like? She said, "I have but a handful of meal." How many of you know who Victor is? Victor was in my home on Christmas morning. I invited all the students in, got to go home, and We made blueberry pancakes and chocolate chip and pecan pancakes and pancakes with strawberries and whipped cream. There was about 25 kids, and I made 150 pieces of bacon. They ate all the bacon. Victor had a good part of that. Can I tell you this? When we made pancake batter, we didn't start with a cup of batter, a handful of batter. We used boxes and boxes and boxes of batter. Now, we know it was a little handful because she said, I just need two sticks for the fire. Not much of a fire. But God said to her, I could use what you have. And it seems a little selfish when we're eating somewhere, especially if it's at my house and we have people there, we go last. And the prophet said, make me thereof a little cake first. Can I challenge you, Fred, this year, the new year, to put God first? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our life is full of things, but are we willing to seek God first? He says, make it for me first. Elijah was representing God who wants to be first in our life. The psalmist said this. He said, early will I seek thee. Can I challenge you in this new year to read your Bible first? Amen. To put the Bible before breakfast? Amen. To put God first. He wants to spend time with you. It'll help the whole day to go better, I can assure you. He asked for poverty. That's not easy for us to accept in our life. He asked for what she had. In Mark chapter 14, verse 8, it says this about someone. She had done what she could. I love the fact that God does not ask us to do more than we can, but he does ask us to do what we can. What is it that God wants you to do this year? God asked Moses, he said, what is that in thine hand? He said, it's a rod. A rod? That's all he had. But God used that rod multiple times. He threw it down, it became a serpent. He hit the rock and water came out. He lifted it up and the Red Sea was parted apart. You may not think you have much, but God will use whatever you have if you give it back to him. My wife has often said to me, we want to hold loosely to the things of this world. I'm thankful for Pastor Crawford. He's used his house already for the Lord. It's a nice home. When company comes, things sometimes happen. We had students in our home on Christmas Day, and on New Year's Day we had about 50. And then on December 29th, we had a bunch of them come over to watch the two semifinal football games. We've been at our house, it'll be 7 years next month in February. We've had over 5,000 people in our home because I believe God wants us to use that home for him. What is it that God wants you to use? Are you going to hold loosely in the coming year? He asked for poverty, but then he asked for priority. Priority. First place. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that in all things he might have the preeminence, absolute first place. I'm afraid in my life there have been many times when God has been prominent in my life. I grew up in a preacher's home. I've been a college professor in Bible colleges for 40 years now. It's part of my life. I spend much of my time preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. But God does not ask for prominence in our life. He asks for preeminence. First place. Amen. First place. I've met people who have something preeminent in their life in a lot of different areas. I know one man, I think golf was preeminent in his life. Others, it was hunting or fishing. Some people, it was NASCAR. I remember knocking the door of a man's house and he said, I can't come to church. I said, you work on Sunday? He says, no. He says, I'm disabled. I go, why can't you come to church? He goes, I go to NASCAR races 40 weeks a year. I walked away. I found out what was preeminent in his life. I was just a young boy, 7 or 8 years of age. I was out soldiering with my dad. We went to a man's house. He says, you won't see me, Pastor, till January. My dad said, why is that? He said, well, it's football season. We walked away from that house, and my dad said, son, that man has the wrong God in his life. Amen. That in all things he might have the preeminence, Colossians chapter 1. He wants to be important. If you were to visit the capital of Germany, the city of Berlin, they have a giant art gallery there. It's similar to what we would have our National Art Gallery there in the mall, the Smithsonian Mall there in Washington, D.C. And in that gallery, there's a painting. It's painted by a man by the name of Adolf Menzel. Germans don't use the name Adolf for boys anymore because of Hitler. But Menzel was born in 1815. He died in 1905, lived to be 80 years of age. He was the preeminent painter in Germany, a great portrait painter. And when they opened this gallery, they said, "We want you to do a giant painting that'll be a centerpiece here for the National Art Gallery in Germany." And he did. He decided to do a painting of Frederick the Great, a Hohenzollern, the leader of what was called the Second Reich. Hitler wanted to start the Third Reich, which was supposed to be a 1,000-year reign, which lasted 13 years. But Frederick the Great was an important leader, unified Germany. And the painting was not quite as big as a screen, but it was probably 80% the size of that screen. He took the canvas, he stretched it, he put it on a frame, and he started with the background and the sky and the grass, and then he began to work in towards the middle. He had aides, and there was horses and dogs and adjutants and officers. He got closer and closer and closer to the very center, and then he chalked out the outline for Frederick the Great. The painting is there today. And then he died. The painting was never finished. Frederick the Great never got in the painting, and the painting was all about him. I wonder, friends, will the Lord Jesus Christ be part of your life this year? When our life is supposed to be about him? Or are we so busy with all the extraneous things that surround us in our life that we forget that it's to be about him? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He asked for priority, but he gave a promise. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, the barrel of meal will not fail, the cruse of oil won't run out. Friends, God promises to supply our needs. As I travel and talk to people about Bible college, they ask me, well, it's expensive. I think God can afford it. My God shall supply all your needs. It's amazing how we worry instead of casting all our cares upon the Lord. I had a man tell me not long ago, Pastor, he said, I can't afford to tithe. I said, you can't afford not to tithe. Obedient Christians tithe and give an offering. And by the way, the Bible says if we don't do that, we will have a leaky seed bag and our resources will just dwindle away. It's a matter of trusting God. If you don't do it, start now in the new year. Put God first. One of the greatest missionary biographies I ever read is called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. There's also a journal of Hudson Taylor's writings, and this great missionary said this. He said, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. Taylor went on and said, he sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. He said, we do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Then he said this, depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen. God will supply our needs. But then we see the wonder God performed. Can I give you a little statement? He honored obedience with abundance. He honored obedience with abundance. I am a firm believer that you cannot outgive God. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and overflowing, shall men heap into your bosom. My wife and I decided a long time ago that we're going to be much more concerned about our heavenly IRA than our earthly IRA. Our heavenly 401k than our earthly 401k. It's going to last a lot longer. Glenn mentioned about his mother coming down with cancer. My mom died of cancer at the age of 59. Never smoked a cigarette, never drank once in her life, kissed one man her entire life. A mother of seven, a pastor's wife, God chose to take her home. But what she spent her life investing in will last forever. What a great thing to encourage ourselves with. She went and did. That could be a sermon by itself. She went and did. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When my son was young, when he disobeyed, I used to make him write this out. There are blessings for obedience, and losses for disobedience. He says he wrote that tens of thousands of times. I don't know if it was that many. But it's the theme of the book of Deuteronomy. But the Bible in Deuteronomy doesn't use the word losses. It uses curses. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. It's just better to obey God. God's way is the best way. There's no turning back from that. We see the simplicity. She went and did. Trust and obey. I don't know about you, but I always admire children who obey. It's a wonderful thing. Sometimes unusual. But it's wonderful. And by the way, I admire God's children who obey. Are we willing to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth? I'll talk to who you want me to talk to this week. I'll witness who you want me to witness to this week. I'm willing to go out and share the gospel and reach my pocket and take out a gospel tract and say, hey, I've got some good news for you. Let me share some good news for you. Are we willing to do that? The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Or are we hiding our candlestick? There's a story told to the preacher Archibald Rutledge of a man who was a woodcutter in his church in England. And every day he'd go out in the woods to cut down trees for fuel and for building. He'd always take his faithful dog with him. He told the pastor the story. He said, I'd always bring my dog and I'd get there. I'd take off my coat as I got ready to chop down trees. And I'd lay my coat over my lunch and I'd tell the dog to guard it. One day, a forest fire came up. The winds were blowing and it was going right towards the area where that dog was and where that lunch was. The woodcutter whistled. He yelled for the dog. He called the dog, but the dog never came. And with tears running down his face, he went to his pastor. He said, preacher, he said, I knew what I would find. After the fire had burned over, he went and he found the dog laying over the lunch, obedient to his very last breath. I wonder, does God know that we will obey him? The woodcutter said to Pastor Rutledge, I always had to be careful with what I said because I knew that dog would obey me. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a plan for you. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. It's a wonderful thing to be used by God. It's a wonderful thing to have God work in us and through us. And by the way, there's a greater need today than ever before. You say, are you reading the news? You know what's going on in the world? I'm keenly aware of it. But I also believe that the darker the night, the brighter the light. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Will you be a light this year? Teenagers, will you bring a visitor to church where they can hear the gospel? Adults, do the people on your block know who your Jesus is? Have you invited them to your church? The people you work with, where you get your haircut, where you go shopping? Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. My friends, I believe if God could use this little widow woman of Zarephath, by the way, she wasn't even Jewish, but God used her, and God can use you. I close this morning by saying this. I believe in this church. God's blessed you here greatly already. You may not know this, but the average independent Baptist church in America runs about 130. You're much larger than the average church. Like I said, I believe the best is yet to come. But can I say this? There's much to be done. Your pastor's a friend of mine. We spent some time yesterday driving around. And he said, there's going to be 400 new homes here, 300 new homes here. God's bringing people to you. Will we avail ourselves of that opportunity? What will we do about it? Can I ask you a tough question? How's your fruit? Who attends the Heritage Baptist Church that you invited to church? Or that you wanted Jesus Christ? By the way, you might have brought him. They heard Pastor Crawford preach and they got saved. You would share that fruit with them. Why is that important? Because God's word says, I have commanded you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and your fruit should remain. The Bible says there's fruit, there's more fruit, there's much fruit. How's your fruit, my friend? How's your fruit? Are you looking to bear fruit the next year? Could you imagine what would happen if just every single adult in here reached one person this year? It'd be the greatest year in the history of this church. And you can do all things through Christ. I close this morning by saying this. I've tried to challenge believers here today to start the new year with a desire to serve God and to realize that you can be used by God. But perchance there's someone here today, maybe a visitor, maybe someone who's come for just a few weeks. You say, Dr. Rasmussen, I'm not absolutely sure I'm on my way to heaven. Can I say this? The singular most important decision you will ever make in your life is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no greater decision. My wife and I have been married for 37 years. She's my best friend. She's a great helpmeet to me. I'm heavily wife dependent, like your pastor, for example. I know that. Right? That was a really important decision, marrying the right person. But it pales into insignificance compared to accepting Christ as one Savior. Because that'll last forever. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life. I witnessed to a man this last week, a Mormon man, in the home of an elderly couple. He doesn't know. He's religious but lost. You could know for sure. In just a moment, pastor's going to come and lead an invitation, and I would invite you to come. We'll direct a man to a man and a lady to a lady, and in just a few minutes, we can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. What a great way to start the new year if you don't know. And then if you're a believer, can I challenge you this morning to determine to allow God to use you this year? To determine that you will be used by God? To determine that being a Christian is not just coming in Sunday morning and Sunday night, even Wednesday night, but it's letting God use us, guide us, and lead us every day of our life. That's what He wants to do. It's in our hand. What's in your hand? Your life. What's in my hand? My life. And I hope you'll join me in praying and asking God to use us in the year of 2019. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I pray you bless during this invitation time. I pray that you will speak to hearts. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I wonder how many here this morning would say, Dr. Rasmussen, I do know for sure, I'm absolutely positive that I'm on my way to heaven. If you'd say that, would you raise your hand in testimony this morning? A great sea of hands. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. I can't look at every person, obviously, in that brief time. But I wonder, is there someone here? I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Someone here would say, I'm not absolutely sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me? If so, would you raise your hand right now? Is there anyone like that? You say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Is there anyone like that at all? If you don't know, I would encourage you to come and take Pastor Crawford's hand in just a moment or two here. Secondly, as I directed this message this morning to believers, because it's my prayer that many people will come alongside Pastor Crawford and serve in the coming year, that will seek to do more in the coming year, that will seek to truly be used by God in the coming year. If you'd say this morning, Dr. Rasmussen, with God's help, I'm going to ask God to use me this year. I'm going to ask for direction from Him. I'm going to ask the pastor for something that I could do in the church. So I'm doing something already. Maybe there's something more you can do in the church. Say, with God's help, I want to do a better job of serving God in the new year. If you'd say that, would you raise your hand this morning? Many, many hands raised. In just a moment, maybe, when the invitation starts, you might want to come and talk to the Lord at the altar about whatever it is He talked to you about. He has a plan for you. Lord, I pray you'll bless during this invitation time. I pray you'll speak to hearts. I thank you for how well people have listened. I pray you'll bless them for it. But Lord, I pray you'll help me and help each listener here, not just to be listeners of your word, but to be doers of it. Then Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you, I pray they'll settle that today. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you would, please. As the music begins, the altars are open. If you raised your hand about serving God, you might want to come and talk to the Lord about that. He'd love to use you. The pastor's here. If you need to talk to him, he'd love to help you. Some have come. How about you, my friend? Why don't you dedicate yourself on this first Sunday of 2019 to allow God to work in you and through you?